Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And thank you all for tuning in. So today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the lunar eclipse that happened on July 5th, 2020 at 45 minutes a.m. Eastern Daylight Time in Capricorn, 13 degrees, 38 minutes, which is also the full moon phase for the solar eclipse from January 5th, 2019, 15 degrees Capricorn, 25 minutes. The seed is in full bloom. In this show, we will be discussing how to use the rational to help understand the absolute. And the rational, there appears to be here and there, along with now and then. But in the absolute, everywhere is here and all time is now. Listen as we explain the stellium, four or more planets in a sign, in Capricorn as a calling to obedience to the divine omnipresence. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience divine omnipresence. Swami, today's title of the show is Full Moon Eclipse on July 5th, 2020. A couple questions for you. Why are the full moons important to us? What should we get from them?
Well, what the new moon promises, the full moon delivers. And so we work with that 28-day cycle on a regular basis. And also here we have the full moon phase of a solar eclipse. The solar eclipse is a larger cycle. It is a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle that if you, what we call, plot a solar eclipse in ephemeris, that the phases of the moon that will correspond with that solar eclipse point, and that's usually within aspect, so it's not an exact point, but it's within aspect, and it's on a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle. So the third quarter phase of the moon will be 2 years, 2 months, and 28 days from the solar eclipse point. And that kind of broadens things out, and it gives us a bigger cycle than just from new moon to full moon.
Now, you were talking about aspect. I'm sorry, I don't understand what the word aspect means.
Well, aspect in this context is the mathematical relationship between planets. Everything that we do is based on the relationship between what's happening above us has a profound effect on what is appearing in our senses.
And in the opening, we said that the seed is in full bloom. Now, is this going to be a little bit more of an intense experience than a regular full moon?
Well, because of the association with the solar eclipse, it might have that. For those people that are in aspect to this solar eclipse point. So in other words, where 15 degrees Capricorn 25 minutes falls in your chart, that house, that'll have kind of like a flashlight effect on that particular house. So it might bring a little more visibility to that. It might not necessarily be an emotional experience. It could appear in any of your five senses. It could be positive or it could be negative. And a lot of this has to do with where we are with regard to our level of consciousness or our degree of awareness. If we're still living at the level of consciousness of corporeal sense, if we're still under the government of karma, then of course the chart becomes a map for your karmic pattern. But if we have risen above corporeal sense and we're living under the government of divine law, then, of course, you're more governed by the fixed stars, which is the changeless state of being. But everything is going to be helpful here with regard to mapping out my level of consciousness, my degree of awareness.
No, so you mentioned chart. So we each have our own individual chart.
Yeah, your natal chart is a snapshot of where the planets were at the time of your birth. The principle that they work with astrology is that everything born has the characteristics of that moment. Now, of course, in Kriya Yoga, everything is happening what we call thrice compounded. It's happening on three different levels simultaneously. And the way we've started to incorporate this is to really focus on the spiritual fact of being, which is the changeless state of being. From that perspective, there is no birth, there is no time, there is no space. But from a corporeal sense level, what we can start to do, though, is use what is visible and tangible to help us understand what is invisible and intangible. And the medium that we work with is what is invisible but tangible, the realms of thought.
So would you say that for us to understand our natal chart, that would be a mortal interpretation, maybe learning about how we are created, and then there are different levels of understanding of our birth chart as we go into these different modes of thinking?
Yeah, as our level of consciousness moves from material to mental to spiritual, then so too will your external picture, because how we think is what we become. But what we're learning here more is how to use the chart more as a map rather than a force or a principle that is creating conditions or circumstances and situations. The conditions, circumstances, and situations are now translated as our thought about what's really here, which is the divine idea, the divine creation, which is absolute, it's complete, it's fulfilled, and it's whole now. When that becomes principle, that's what we mean in Kriya Yoga, the causal spiritual body is cause. Then, of course, creation is perfect. But if we are working with corporeal sense, if we haven't achieved pratyahara, if we haven't risen above corporeal sense, if we don't understand how to think with divine mind, and we're still working with mortal rational mind and mortal imagination as opposed to divine omnipresence, then that's what we call in Kriya Yoga avidya, ignorance. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. And so now what we're trying to do is we're trying to be able to prove the presence of spirit, the perfection of being, that it's here, it's now, and that what is appearing in our senses, which would be more associated with even the movement of the planets, even though from our geocentric perspective, the planets are above us. In truth, we're working more with a spiritual sense, which really means that these planets are within us. And so as we start to think differently and we start to move from the rational to the absolute, and our consciousness is following that procession or that advancement, then we make this profound shift from the victim where everything is happening to us to now we are the co-creator of our reality.
Well, I like the idea of being able to look at the natal chart as, say, like you said, the blueprint of what was going on the moment of our birth. But for us to be able to interpret these natal charts, they can look a little confusing. Is that something that you can help people do?
Well, yeah, we do astrological consultations, and also sometimes even in our programs, we teach astrology. We use our approach to it to help us understand, because we're using it as a symbolic language. What we have been saying is we're trying to use what's visible and tangible to give us clues into what's invisible and intangible. In order to make what's invisible and intangible intelligible to human consciousness, that's what symbolic languages were. That's why Jesus spoke with parables, because that's the Christ. The Christ is what makes divine omnipresence intelligible to human consciousness.
What's interesting to me is we said in the summary of the show that in the rational, there appears to be here and there, along with now and then, but in the absolute, everywhere is here and all time is now. So relating back to the natal birth charts, that was just like one moment in time when actually there is no moments in time. Am I thinking that correctly?
Right. That in truth, nobody's born, nobody dies. That we are made in the image and likeness of the creative principle. That we are the reflection of the divine, which is absolute.
So in the understanding of what's going on around us, above us, below us, helps us understand what's going on inside of us because it's all the same.
On a spirit level, it's all the same. But on a corporeal sense level, that is when we have a belief in the many. And as we start to employ a metaphysical or a mystical system that now enables us to correct our thought with the spiritualization of thought, and it's a process, that it's something that we can employ strategies and we can start to cultivate spiritual sense.
So I'm hoping we can talk a little bit more about what is going on with the zodiacal signs. Can you explain to us about Capricorn, what that means for us right now, and what the stellium is all about?
Yeah, the stellium is four or more planets in a zodiacal sign. And the chart of this particular lunar eclipse, the moon is in Capricorn, Jupiter is in Capricorn, Pluto is in Capricorn, and Saturn is in Capricorn. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, and it corresponds with this feminine side of Muladhara Chakra in yoga. What that corresponds with is Ephesus in Revelations. John was instructed to take a letter to the churches of Asia. What we basically do is we translate a lot of this information into something that we are accustomed to using, because the symbol of a church means Lord's house. In the Bible, when they use the term house, what they really mean is consciousness. So the concept of divine consciousness within is what Ephesus is. Now that's Muladhara Chakra. The chakras are divine consciousness within human consciousness. That's that point that we're all looking for, where my thought is the same as the divine idea. Only what we find in Revelations and also in Kriya Yoga, that there are seven spirits before the throne, that there are seven chakras. And so here we have the opportunity to focus on Saturn, the aspect of this church or chakra or divine consciousness within is existence found in spiritual sense. So here's an opportunity for us to start to seek out this spiritual truth, the divine idea of our reality. How do I know if I'm going to find it? And that's where we use the appearances, we use our thoughts, and then, of course, the fulcrum of the whole thing is the divine idea, that spirit is principle. Spirit in truth is the only self-existent power in this universe. Everything else, as we've been saying, relies on belief for the appearance of power. But for us to come out of the modes of mortal thought and start to identify with divine mind is where we start to find our most advancement.
Well, I think we'll pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, again, in the opening, we were going to talk about Capricorn as a calling to obedience to the divine omnipresence, and hoping maybe that you could shed a little bit more light on that.
In astrology, one of the key phrases for Capricorn is I use. One of the things that we do when we're doing salutation to the sun, when we get to Capricorn, the attribute that is associated with that is obedience. And so again, if Capricorn is represented by Muladhara Chakra, and what we have assigned to that is divine consciousness within, existence found in spiritual sense. And that's very different than what we would typically associate with Capricorn, because most of us use Capricorn as a principle for manifestation. Manifestation are the things that come into appearance. But when you reverse engineer things and you're working with the divine idea, then what you're starting to do is, rather than looking for what is appearing in the senses as the end-all be-all, you know that what's appearing in your senses now is just your thought about the divine idea. And the thought can be changed. And that's another thing that we're working with, is learning about modes of thinking. Eventually, you're going to find that you don't have to petition the will of God. You have to recognize that it is functioning. You have to accept that the will is functioning. And you must go to the kingdom of God within you. The Christ who is seated on the throne of the Father in Revelations. Another thing that's important, I think, here to understand is that when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within, he's talking about the divine idea. He's talking about the real man. He's talking about who we are in the truth of our being. We're not talking about the mortal creature. We're not talking about corporeal sense or the human experience. So in order to activate this, we really have to re-educate ourselves, and we have to start with spirit as a principle, learning what is divine omnipresence. One of the things in the Bible, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto. And so this is almost 180 degrees from what I found that most of us do. Most of us are trying to get things squared away in the physical world, and then we can start our spiritual quest. But the Bible's telling us to do it the other way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, for us to start to know ourselves in the way that we're known by this creator becomes a practical guide for highly effective living. For us to shift identity from material to spiritual is where all of our potential is found, and we're going about it the wrong way.
Which reminds me of another quote that we have, and this is from Mark 4:19, and that states, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. That to me sounds like what happens when you don't seek the kingdom of God or put God first, as we would say.
Right. And if we're sowing to the flesh, if we have a belief in matter and we're under this law of karma, then we can't manifest spirit as cause. Now we have a belief that matter is cause and we're in the trap.
And I see you have a quote here that you found from Mary Baker Eddy in Miscellaneous Writings. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, she wrote in Miscellaneous Writings on page 334, astrology is well in its place, but this place is secondary. So like you said, it is primary to put God first, to understand that this divine omnipresence is law. That's the principle that we work with. Astrology, again, is something that we're working with what's appearing in our senses. But to use it as a tool to help us understand what isn't reporting in our senses can be very useful, which is the direction that we're trying to take. It doesn't dictate, we're not fated, the planets don't determine who we are and what's going to happen to us. They're just another way of being able to understand that in truth, we are perfect. That the changeless state of being, this one divine omnipresence, this divine life, is absolute harmony. It's absolute love. It's eternal life. But if we continue to live out from corporeal sense, and we accept our mortality and we believe that we are a physical form, then we spend most of our time trying to figure out how the unreal became real. And of course, you're never going to understand yourself from that very limited perspective of human conjecture.
Well, I'd like to ask you a few more questions actually about this lunar eclipse. And one of them is, I understand that there are some planets that are retrograde. What does that mean? And what does that mean to us on a spiritual level?
Well, the planets retrograde, what it appears that Jupiter, Pluto, and Saturn are moving backwards. Now, of course, we know that nothing really moves backwards, but it has the appearance of moving backwards. But it's kind of like a cosmic do-over. In some respect, it's like being left back in school, but it gives you the opportunity to go over what it is that you've already been exposed to one time. So it's a review. And if we can start to look at things through the lens of divine mind, as opposed to that limited sense of mortal mind, then you have the ability to affect changes in these outcomes.
And my second question about the eclipse is, usually we talk about the dates that correspond with the eclipse, and this might be a good time to at least throw those out there.
Right, because the eclipse that happened on January 5th, 2019, the new moon, the first quarter phase that corresponded with that was on October 5th, 2019. And that first quarter phase was at 12 degrees Capricorn 9 minutes, whereas the actual solar eclipse was 15 degrees Capricorn 25 minutes. The full moon phase, which was yesterday, July 5th, 2020, was 13 degrees Capricorn 38 minutes. And then the third quarter phase that's going to happen April 4th, 2021, will be at 14 degrees Capricorn, 51 minutes. So that 2 year, 2 month, and 28 cycle is really a gestation period for this expansion of consciousness. But it must begin with the union with the divine. We must find the kingdom of heaven within. And when you're looking for the kingdom of heaven, it is very important to be able to know the difference between mortal imagination, human thought about being spiritual, and this divine omnipresence, which is here right now. And one of the biggest clues that you can find with that is that divine omnipresence does not report in your five senses.
Next question I have for you, let's talk a little bit about celestial navigation, not only in a material sense, but in a spiritual sense. What do we mean by celestial navigation?
Well, celestial navigation was how they got around before GPSs. Celestial navigation is learning how to use the stars to pinpoint locations on the Earth. As we know, the map doesn't equal the destination, but it's a tool to maintain a course. And so here, that's what we're trying to do, is create what we call the CPS, the Celestial Positioning System, to help you plot out your development, apotheosis, this process of you shifting from material identity to mental identity to spiritual identity. Because you can have visible and tangible signposts for that. Using a lot of the information that we're working with now, so that we can prove that we're spiritual and not just make some sort of declaration. And again, we've been really working with what Mary Baker Eddy said, to live above corporeal sense and correct it. And so you're using the testimony of your senses to help you see, how am I thinking? Do I understand myself spiritually? Am I in the will of God? Because the will of God is void of sin, sickness, suffering, evil, problems. If these things are things that you are dealing with, then what we really have to do is we have to repent. And the biblical interpretation of that is think differently. But just how different we are going to be instructed to think is what we're trying to learn, to come out of the modes of mortal thought, come out of corporeal sense level living, and now to be true to this invisible, intangible divine mind, which doesn't report in our five senses, but we're developing spiritual sense.
I know you have this CPS, Celestial Positioning System, on your website. How do you recommend somebody uses that as a tool?
Well, I think if you're in a metaphysical or a mystical system, and one of the things that I do recommend is keep a journal. And then you can start to use transits, progressions, your natal chart as a tool. Like I said, it's a map. It will give you insight into your karmic pattern. And if you're still working with karma, then it'll give you some lead time into prepare yourself to expect the timing of circumstances and situations and conditions. It's not going to dictate what you're going to do with it. But like I said, you can prepare yourself like an educated consumer, as a conscious participant with the divine idea of who you really are. And of course, if you are spiritual, then it's more of just a tuning rather than a calling.
Well, we're going to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the website, on that homepage, when you see the fading banner for Blog Talk Radio, click that on. That will direct you to all the shows that you can access. And don't forget the products tab. If you click on online classes, you can access Swami's free webinar that he does Wednesdays at noon. And then if you would like to contact him for any information about birth charts, be sure to contact him through the website as well. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience divine omnipresence. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful yoga kind of day. Namaste.